Thank you. Again, we come to you with the studies in the spiritual life of the believer, and we've been dealing with the evidence of a spiritual life. What is the evidence of a spiritual life? It's not the gift of the Spirit, but a life that is lived by the Spirit through the believer and in the believer. For example, Paul could say in Philippians 1, 20 and 21, that Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death. Or you take chapter 4, 13 of that same book when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And we were discussing in our last lesson the fact that spiritual gifts are no sign of spirituality, but that the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. I shall not reiterate those things except to make the statement. Then I would say, if you and I are walking in the Spirit, or as Paul could say in Galatians 5:25, if by the Spirit you live, then by the Spirit walk, then we will pray in the Spirit. For example, in the book of Jude, in the 20th verse, I read, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, praying in the Spirit. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, when the apostle is speaking especially of the armor, that which will protect us from the enemy, he says, stand fast in the Lord, in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Then he goes on to speak of the fact we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate of righteousness, and your loins girt about with truth, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And take the shield of faith, and then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he gives to us our resources. What are those? Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. You see, he's talking here about our resources. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He said, but Mr. Mitchell, you said the other day in one of your broadcasts that we don't even know how to pray as we ought. That's true. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, we were reading the fact where the apostle says, the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought, but he prays for us. The Spirit of God prays for us with groanings that can't be uttered. And he who knows the mind of the Spirit knoweth what we have need of, because he's praying for us according to the will of God. Effectual believing prayer. It is to pray in the will of God. Now you remember that the book of Jude, which we were reading a moment ago, is a book of the last days. And it encourages us to go on with God in the last days, to be studious Christians, praying Christians, loving Christians, hopeful Christians, compassionate Christians. Is what you have in verses 20 to 23. And in one of those is praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you mean by that? I believe it means praying in the Spirit of God. Praying in the will of God. You remember in 1 John chapter 5, it says, if we pray according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petitions, whatever we ask of him. There's such a thing as praying in the will of God. But how can I know the will of God if I don't stay in his word? How can I know the will of God if I don't walk with him? For example, how would you know what anybody wants of you if they didn't tell you? If I wanted something from somebody, I would tell them. But they certainly will not know what I want unless I tell them. My friend, how can you know what God wants unless he tells you? And how can you hear if you're walking your own way? You see, this whole thing is tied up together. You've heard many messages on prayer and on the promises of God and of what God will do. But when you boil it all down, here you come right back to it. How can I know the will of God? How can I pray in the Spirit? How can I pray in the Spirit if I don't know the will of God? How can I know the will of God except to get to the Word of God? And how can I know the heart of God unless I walk with Him, unless I'm in fellowship with Him? That's why I'm insistent on this fact that when a Christian is walking in fellowship with God in His will, that believer is Spirit-filled. And that's the only time he is Spirit-filled. It's not something you receive once for all forever. It's true I'm born of the Spirit once for all. It's true that I'm sealed by the Spirit once for all. It's true that I'm baptized by the Spirit once for all. I'm indwelt by the Spirit. He doesn't leave us. He comes to abide forever. But this question of a Spirit-filled life is a continual thing. That depends upon me. That depends upon you. That depends upon our fellowship with God. And as we walk in fellowship with Him in the light of His Word, then we will pray in the Spirit. And for your encouragement, allow me to make one or two quotations. Now, I'm quoting, and I don't know where I got it from, but let me quote it to you. Prayer is the only power in the world to which God will yield. Now, that's a tremendous statement. Now, let me read the quotation again. Quote, prayer is the only power in the world to which God will yield. The end of the quotation. Or, again, another quote. Prayer links the believer to omnipotence. End of quotation. Prayer links the believer to omnipotence. Do you remember on the Mount, after they come down from the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, the nine disciples, were trying to cast the demons out of a boy. Now, they'd had that experience before. They had already cast out demons before, because they said to the Lord Jesus, "Why, the very demons are subject to us." That's true. Now they said to Jesus, when our Lord had cast the demons out of the boy, they said to Jesus, "Why couldn't we cast them out?" And Jesus said, "If you have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and it shall obey you." Now, I'm well aware that people will say, and preachers will say, talks about the mountains of doubt and so on. He was talking about this mountain of transfiguration. And I'm sure of one thing, that when you and I walk in the presence of God, in fellowship with Him, and we pray in His will, we are touching omnipotence. May I just say a word of warning here? I've heard people pray and demand that God do this and demand that God do that in the name of Jesus. This is not faith. My friend, when you come in the presence of God, there'll be reverence, there'll be awe, there'll be worship. When anybody comes in a prayer meeting and demands that God do certain things, that's not faith. That's presumption. That's the flesh talking. That's not faith. When a person comes in the presence of God and is in fellowship with God, there will be that evidence of meekness and humility and worship and reverence. Praying in the Spirit of God, you touch omnipotence. To me, it's an amazing thing how we Christians have robbed ourselves of a life in God that He is so desirous to have. But there are certain things laid down. Certainly the power of God is not going to be manifested in a life that's out of fellowship with God. Now, I want to say very bluntly, my friend, that when you and I walk in fellowship with God, we will be praying in the will of God. We will be praying in the Spirit, and every prayer prayed in the will of God in the Spirit is answered. Why? Because He does the praying. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Prayer is the experiencing of the life and fellowship with God. I wish I could put into words the way I feel about this and the way I see it in the Scripture. There is a place, there is a life where every believer, even you shut-ins, you who feel so helpless and you can't read anymore, you feel too weak to pray, and you're tied down with a weak body and you can't do this and you can't do that, or another fellow says, "My, I want to give more time to the Lord. I'd like to have a job where I could just give all my time serving the Lord." Another one says, "I wish I had enough money to support my family so I could give my time to doing things for God." Now listen, you're getting yourself occupied with things, doing things. That's not primary. The important thing is not that. The important thing is not your service. The important thing for me is not teaching the Word of God. The important thing for me is not preaching. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's something that comes before that. Our ministry ought to be the fruitage of a walk with God. And when you and I walk with God in His will, when you and I live a Spirit-filled life, we are in touch with an omnipotent God. We touch omnipotence. And we don't have to stoop to do the things that some men do. I don't think God is pleased with the tricks that are pulled off in His name, the stunts that are pulled off. We are in touch with an omnipotent God. And I say this kindly. Our trouble is, I speak of Mitchell and my co-partners, my brethren in the ministry, we become so tied up with doing things. Our churches demand so much of our time, of our strength. We rob ourselves of the most important thing. And that is to wait upon God, to walk in fellowship with God in His will, and to pray, to take the time to pray in the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you can dash in the presence of God and dash out again. You've got 3 minutes. Lord, I've only got 3 minutes, but I'll give you that 3 minutes. He's not talking about that here. It takes time to come in the presence of God and wait upon Him. And please, please, Christian friend, may I make a plea here for your pastor and for your leaders. See to it. Don't take all their time. Encourage them to walk with God. Encourage them to spend time in the presence of God. Encourage them to spend time in the Word of God. Sometimes I think some pastors become nothing else but taxi drivers for their people. It's shame on us to take men who have given themselves for the ministry of the Word of God, and we don't give them time. I'm reminded of Peter in Acts 6 when he said, "It's not right that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables." But whatever the ministry may be, even if it's serving tables, ought to be the outflow of a life lived in the presence of God. And when we are Spirit-filled, we will pray in the Spirit. And I repeat it, when you and I come in the presence of God, we are touching an omnipotent God who is more willing to give. Well, you take that passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, when he said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's according to the Spirit of God who indwells us. And the remarkable thing is that God is not looking for angels. God is looking for men. God always looks for men. Do you know, I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 59, where in verse 16, the preceding verses, it gives you a condition in Israel. Truth has fallen in the streets, and the righteous man becomes a prey. And God wondered. There was no man to intercede. You know, this always strikes me, it convicts me. God wondered. The only place that I read in the Bible, if my memory serves me correctly, the only place where God wondered, there was no man to intercede. Like you have it in Ezekiel chapter 22, about the last verse. The priests have gone off their deep end. The prophets are prophesying lies. The princes are trafficking in souls, and the people are just going their own way. And God looked for somebody to make up the hedge, and he found none. He found none. I sometimes wondered if God would have looked down upon your church, your town. If God looked for a man to intercede, will he find any? And you know, he just needs one man. He only needs one man. He's the whole nation of Israel. And I'm quoting from Exodus 33. And God said to Moses, "Get out of the way. Let me alone, and I'll blot this people out." And Moses stood between God in his wrath and Israel in their sin. He just needs one man. You take Abraham, God's going to blot out Sodom and Gomorrah, but he found a man. In Genesis 18, and Abram pleaded with God for Sodom. Here I find my nation, America, the USA. I find a terrible situation developing. I don't want to go into this except to mention the fact what God is looking for is men. Men and women who will pray. Oh, I plead with you Christians, if ever you prayed for your country, you pray for your country now. I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you what the book declares concerning the last days, and we're right there. And if ever you prayed for your country, you say, "Well, I don't agree with this one or that one or the other one." That hasn't a thing to do with it. You and I do not know the pressures and the intrigue, not only in national politics, but in international politics. The world is gone. I was going to say kaflooey. The world today is in a turmoil. Fear rages everywhere. Suffering and death and what have you, lawlessness and corruption. If ever you prayed, my friend, it's today. If ever you prayed for your local church, you do it today. If you ever prayed for your pastor, for your teachers, for your Sunday school teachers, do it today. You can touch omnipotence today. God looks for a man. God looks for men who will walk with him. He wants you to be God's man, right where you live, right where you work, right in your neighborhood. God's put you there. May God grant that you will know something of reaching omnipotence for the glory of God. And prayer brings you into touch with an omnipotent God. Prayer links the believer to omnipotence. And remember what I said a while ago. Prayer, and I quote again, prayer is the only power in the world to which God will yield. And you've got that weapon. And you can do it. And don't talk to me about a spiritual life if you don't spend time in the presence of God. And become an intercessor. God looks for men. God grant you and I will be his men, his women, to pray these days, not only for our country, but for our churches, for our pastors, for our leaders, that God may be glorified.